Hey there, wonderful souls. Welcome back to Dr. Dodswaite's podcast, The Sanctuary, where we dive into real talk, real stories, and real transformation. We're absolutely thrilled to have you joining us once again. Today's episode is more than mere words. It's an invitation for divine transformation. So, take a deep breath, center your heart, and allow the wisdom to resonate within you.
I want us to go to the book of Nehemiah. I've been praying the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to pray that book. We're going to delve verse after verse and pray. And I hope we shall be able to finish before the year ends. Amen. So when you look at verse 2, I'm just going to pick up from where Pastor Grace left last week. Verse 17, the Bible says, "Then I said to them," this is Nehemiah, "you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." Now, this story of Nehemiah is very, very inspiring. Nehemiah, you know, conceives a burden to go and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And you can see that nobody else had this burden but Nehemiah. And that's why I was telling you in my opening remarks, God will stir you up. God will stir up something rather inside of you to do for him. And you must be quick to be able to do what God, you know, is stirring in your heart to do. You must never wait. You must never say that you will do tomorrow or you will do next year. You must do it now, because when God speaks to you, he expects immediate response. He expects that you respond quickly. And you can see that nobody had this burden of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem other than Nehemiah. He's the one that had a stirring. He's the one that, you know, received the vision. He's the one that, you know, received a prodding in his spirit concerning, you know, Jerusalem. And you can see that it affected him, you know, and he decided to do something about it. And here, you know, you can see that he was even in distress when he thought about Jerusalem, when he thought about the walls of Jerusalem that were broken. He was in distress. He was in pain because he loved Jerusalem. And, you know, everybody else loved Jerusalem, but he is the only one that we see that had the burden, you know, to repair the broken walls of Jerusalem. He's the only one that conceived the vision to go back to Jerusalem and see, you know, oversee changes, oversee the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. He was in distress. He was in pain, you know, because of what had already happened, you know, in the city. I think we need to come to a place where we can have a burden over cities, we can have a burden over nations, we can have a burden over continents. We need to come to a place where we can align ourselves to God and allow God, you know, to put this vision, this burden for cities, for places, for communities in our hearts. Because many of us, honestly, we only have a burden for ourselves. Many of us, we only think about ourselves, we only think about our family, we only think about our wives, we only think about our children, we only think about our husband. And let me say wife, not wives. We only think about our wife, we only think about our husband, we only think about our children. You know, our vision is so limited. You know, the radius is very short. You know, it's only I, you know, my wife or my husband and my children. But I believe that God is bringing us to a place where we have a burden for cities. We have a burden for nations. We have a burden for countries. God will put a country in your heart the way he put, you know, Jerusalem in the heart of Nehemiah, so that you start interceding, you start praying, and you avail yourself to go, you know, and be used of God to impact that city. May God put a burden concerning a community in your heart. May God put a burden concerning, you know, a country in your heart. May God put a burden concerning, you know, a geographical location in your heart, just like Nehemiah. And may you be distressed like Nehemiah until you see change, you know, take place in that city. Like this week, God has put a burden in our hearts to go to Makindu to be a blessing you know, to impact the body of Christ there. And we're excited and we're still praying, you know, that God may use us as instruments, you know, of the anointing. God may use us to bring healing, to bring unity. You know, God may use us to bring His word in, to the lives of people, to encourage the pastors, to encourage the churches in that particular place. So may God grant you a burden over a city. May God grant you a burden over a geographical area. May God grant you a burden over a nation in the name of Jesus, so that you may not just think about yourself. You may not just think about your family. You may not just think about your house. It is time for you to expand your vision. It is time for you to stretch your vision. It's time for you to elongate your burden so that your burden can go beyond the four walls of your house. This is where Nehemiah was, and I pray that that is where we shall reach. So he had a burden for Jerusalem, and I want us to look at three things about Jerusalem that relates, you know, to our lives. There are three things that characterize Jerusalem that was heartbreaking to Nehemiah. The first thing is, you see, when you read that verse, let me read it again. Nehemiah says, "Then I say to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." So you can see that Nehemiah saw three things about Jerusalem, and these are the things that I want us to look at that, you know, relate to our lives. Number one, the city laid in waste. The city laid in waste. Anything that lies in waste, you know, simply means that the dignity, you know, of that place is gone. The beauty of that place is gone. You know, the quality that used to be seen there, the excellence that used to be seen there, the order that was in that place is gone. So anything that lies in waste implies the absence of quality, the absence of excellence, the absence of organization and order that was once in that particular place. The beauty that was there, you know, the glory that was seen in that place, you know, is no more. So Jerusalem used to be a beautiful place. There was order. There was excellence. It was where the presence of God used to dwell. The Ark of the Covenant was there. You know, David was there as an established king. It was a prosperous city, I'm telling you, fortified, you know, from all sides. It was a beautiful city, a shining city, a city that was, a city that had the favor of God, you know, on it. And yet we are seeing at this particular moment that it laid in waste. So what was there? The order was that was there. The beauty that was there was no longer in that particular place. Maybe if I could explain this for you to understand what I'm talking about. All of you remember post-election violence. I think it was in 2007. Post-election violence, you know, where we had, you know, a lot of, you know, wanton destruction of property all over the place, you know, because of the elections. And I was part of a group that used to go, you know, to these hotspots. We went to these hotspots, you know, areas that were hit the hardest by post-election violence to try and, you know, help the people who were living in camps. You know, we were calling them IDPs, internally displaced persons. And I remember us driving through cities, driving through villages that were hit the hardest hit areas. And let me tell you, the places laid in waste. I mean, we saw houses that were broken down. We saw windows that were shattered. We saw houses that had been torched. You know, we saw businesses that had been razed to the ground. You know, there's a village we went and all the houses had been flattened. I mean, it was even scary. I mean, as we were driving through, there was a cold chill down my spine. I felt it because, I mean, you could see the devastation. You could see the anger. You could see, you know, the hatred, you know, you could actually see the violence, you know, the places we went and we saw bones and we were being told that this is a place where people were burned, you know, alive. You could see broken bones of human beings in that particular place. So that is the picture, you know, of how Jerusalem looked. You know, when something lies in waste, rather, it simply means that what was there has been, you know, destroyed. The beauty that was there, the excellence that was there, the order that was there, the buildings that were there, houses that were there, had been, you know, destroyed, and everything, you know, had been razed to the ground. So this is how sometimes our lives are. You know, our lives, you know, lose the glory, lose the excellence, you know, lose the beauty that was once there. You know, sometimes we go through experiences in life that break us, you know. We go through experiences of life that leave us, you know, lying in waste, you know, and our lives are full of stench. Our lives are surrounded by ashes and rubble, and the glory that was there, the beauty that was there is no longer there. And so we must come to a place where we pray. We must come to a place where we pray and ask God to bring back the glory, to bring back, you know, the beauty that was once in our lives. Isaiah chapter 61, and I want us to read this verse even as we delve deeper in this. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3, this is what the Bible says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You can see that these are people that used to have beauty. These are people that, you know, once were rich, but now they are poor, you know, to preach good tidings to the poor. Some people are poor, not because they were born poor, but because something happened. They used to be rich, they used to be wealthy, you know, they were doing well, the business was doing well, the family was doing well, you know, they had a good job, but something happened in between here, and now they are languishing in poverty. The Bible says that the anointing, you know, that is brought by the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the anointing that has been brought by the Holy Spirit is to bring good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, there are people who are okay, who are fine, who are in lovely relationships. They were enjoying life. Life was good. Things were okay. Things were fantastic. And then something happened. Their hearts were broken. And when their hearts were broken, you know, they no longer have the joy that they had, you know, when they were entering into a relationship. I'm telling you, the anointing is available. The anointing is there to be able to bring healing to every broken heart in the name of Jesus. And then we have those who are captives, you know. They used to be free, but they are now captives, you know. They used to be free, but they are now in prison. They used to be free, but they are now under bondage. You know, something happened. Maybe they were engaged. They were engaged, you know, in something that plunged them, you know, into a certain kind of bondage. You know, they are in prison. They are imprisoned by the enemy. They are imprisoned, you know, by a habit. And so they used to be free, but now, you know, they are in prison. You know, the anointing is available to loose every prisoner from bondage, to loose every prisoner from the prison in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, those who are bound with sin, those who are bound, you know, those who are bound by harmful habits, the anointing is available to be able to loose them, you know, from their chains in the name of Jesus, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Then to comfort those who mourn. They used to be happy, they used to be excited, you know, and something happened, and now they are mourning. There are things that can plunge you into mourning. Life can plunge you into mourning. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of an opportunity, it can plunge you into mourning. But let me tell you this morning that there is an anointing by the Holy Spirit, that if you pray and plug into that anointing, I'm telling you, you know, everything that lies waste in you, God is able to restore it. God is able to turn it around. God is able to bring back that which had been destroyed or stolen by the enemy in your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To console, oh my goodness, I love this. To console those who mourn in Zion. There are people who are in Zion, but they are mourning. There are people who are in church, but they are mourning. There are people who are serving God, but they are in mourning. There are people who are born again, given to God, you know, preaching and serving, but they are mourning. But let me tell you, there is an anointing. There is an anointing to bring healing, you know, to everyone that is mourning. There is an anointing to comfort those who are mourning. There is an anointing, courtesy of the Holy Spirit. When we pray and plug into that anointing, I'm telling you, the comfort that you receive is unimaginable. God is going to comfort your heart. God is going to comfort your spirit. God is going to comfort your soul, regardless of what you have experienced that has plunged you into mourning. And to give them beauty, this is what I was trying to get to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. So you can see, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there is beauty. There is beauty for ashes. That means God can turn around every ugliness. God can turn around every situation that lies in waste in your life. And He can bring beauty. He can bring beauty for every ash. He can replace ashes with beauty. He can turn around your situation. Your hallelujah. Restore the glory that you lost. Restore the excellence that you lost. Restore, you know, the order and the organization that you lost. In the name of Jesus. I don't know if there is someone here, but I'm sure there is. That's why God is, you know, leading me in this direction. If there is someone here and there is a lot of ashes, ashes have accumulated in your life, ashes have accumulated in your home, ashes have accumulated in your family, and all you see is ugliness, all you see is brokenness, all you see, you know, is everything lying in waste in your life. I came to tell you this morning that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is still potent, is still strong, and is still available to turn your ashes into beauty. In the name of Jesus, God is able to replace every ash in your life. God is able to replace every ugliness in your life with beauty. God is able to turn around your situation and what lies in waste. God is able to replace it with order, with organization, with excellence and beauty. In the name of Jesus. This morning, if you're surrounded with ashes, this morning, if you're covered with ashes, I pray that may God replace your ashes with beauty. I pray that God may turn around your life in a great way, supernaturally, and release beauty over your life. In the name of Jesus, may the anointing of the Holy Spirit reach you right where you are and turn your fortunes around. In the name of Jesus, may the anointing of the Holy Spirit invade your home, invade your house, invade where you are. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit replace every form of ash in your life in the name of Jesus. May this month be the month that you're going to experience beauty for your ashes. May this month be the month that you'll experience a turnaround in everything that lies waste in your life. In the name of Jesus, may this month be the month that God will make you smile in the midst of a difficult situation, because He's going to turn it around in your favor. In the name of Jesus, everything that lies waste in your life, everything that lies waste in your home, everything that lies waste in your marriage, this morning, I decree and I declare, may God give you beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. May God grant you beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. May God release beauty in your home and in your life for every form of ash in your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The second thing that we see about Jerusalem is we see that there was a broken system around Jerusalem. You know, the Bible says that the gate, you know, which was, you know, the point of entry to the city. The Bible says that it was burned with fire. You see, when you look at a compound, when they build a compound, they put a wall around the compound and then they put a gate. The gate is a point of control or a point of entry. It determines who is granted access and who is denied access. All right. So the gate of this city had been destroyed. So there was no control of traffic. Anybody that wanted to come in was able to come in. anything that wanted to come to the city, you know, and invade the city, you know, had the leeway to do so because there was no control. You see, the gate was like a defensive system to, you know, control traffic, you know, to grant permission to those who have been allowed to come to the city and to deny, you know, entry to those who have been rejected, those that are not needed to get to the city. But this gate that was supposed to act as a control or a defensive system around the city, you know, it was destroyed, it was burned down, and so the city was vulnerable. You know, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was very easy to invade Jerusalem. It was very easy, you know, to take Jerusalem because there was no control. Anybody, you know, who wanted to come to Jerusalem was able to invade the city. Anybody who wanted to walk around the streets of Jerusalem was able to do so. Anybody who wanted to come and invade the city and walk around and see the houses, the homes, you know, he was able to do so. Anybody that wanted to come and pick up the pieces, you know, pick up the spoils, plunder the city, was able to do so because the gates, the point of control over the city, had been destroyed. Can I tell you something this morning? That the worst thing that could happen to you as an individual is when you have no control over who gets into you. The worst thing that can happen to you is when you don't have control over your mind, when you don't have control over your flesh, when you don't have control over your spirit, when you don't have control over your soul. Anything that wants to invade you has the leeway to do so. I think that is the worst thing that can ever happen to you, that you don't have a form of defense system. You don't have resistance. You don't have energy to determine who comes into you to, you know, to influence you or who doesn't. The worst thing that can happen to you is when you lose that control, when you lose that ability. There are people, for example, who have no control of alcohol. When they seek alcohol, I mean, it's like their defensive mechanism is eroded, you know. There are people who have no control, you know, when it comes to lying. It's so easy for them to lie. They can't resist lying. It's very easy for them to lie when they're in a fix, when they're in a problem. You know, a lie will just come out of their mouth. They don't have control over lying. There are people who don't have control over greed. You know, when they see something, you know, they're so greedy, even if it's not theirs, they just want to take it. They just want to have it, you know. They don't have control over greed. There are people who don't have control over their own body. I mean, sexual immorality weakens them almost immediately. They can't say no. They can't say no to immorality. They can't say no to perversion. They can't say no to pornography. There are people who don't have control. They don't have walls. They don't have a gate, you know, to be able to say no to all these things. And I want you to know that in this world, there's so many things that will try and influence you. There are many spirits that will try and influence you. There are many forces that will come and try and influence you. You need to have a gate. You need to have a point of control in your life. You need to know who you can allow access into your life and who you need to block from accessing your life. You need to have a strong gate, you know, in your life, which can become a point of control, to control what comes in, to control who influences you, to control which forces gets to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 25, I'm reading it from the Passion translation of the Bible. It is very powerful. This is what the Bible says. It is indeed obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win, but only one receives the victor's prize. Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every aspect. Now, watch this. Practicing constant self-control. I want to say that again. Practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run a race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. So this guy has to practice constant self-control. You must have a gate. You must have a gate around your life. You must have a gate in your life to practice constant self-control, because you'll be bombarded with negative forces. You will be bombarded by negative influences. You will be bombarded by demons. You will be bombarded by diabolic forces that are trying to manage you, trying to control you, and try to manipulate you. So you need to have a gate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to have a gate that you can control what comes in, because the devil will try and come in. Demons will try and come in and invade your life. You know, evil forces will try and come in and invade your life, distort, you know, the way of your thinking, change your perspective, influence you in a negative way. Even, you know, negative company will try and influence you as a person. You need a gate. You need to practice self-control. You need to build up such a strong gate around your life, so that you don't just allow anything to come to you and influence you negatively in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, you must build up spiritual muscles. You must build up spiritual stamina. You must become a child or a man or a woman who can be able to say no, or a young person who has the ability to say no to any negative influence that tries to manipulate and control you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you need supernatural strength. You need supernatural stamina. You need supernatural, you know, ability, muscles to be able to exercise self-control, so that you are not manipulated, you are not controlled, you are not contaminated by any evil spirit that tries to control your life in the name of Jesus. If you are here and your gate is broken, I pray for you this morning. I pray for fortification in your life in the name of Jesus. I pray that by reason of divine intervention, may God fortify you this morning in the name of Jesus. May the gate to control negative influences in your life be built, be erected in your life this morning in the name of Jesus. The gate that can filter every evil in the name of Jesus. The gate that can resist every demonic infestation in your life, the gate that can resist every demonic affliction over your life, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. I intercede for you this morning. May that gate be built. May that gate be established in your life this morning, in the name of Jesus. You will no longer be at the mercy of evil forces. You will no longer be at the mercy of demonic, you know, affliction. You will no longer be at the mercy of demonic and diabolic manipulation and control in the name of Jesus. Your gate is becoming stronger to be able to resist. The Bible says resist, 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 resist the devil and you will flee. I pray that this day that your strength is growing. I pray that your spiritual stamina is growing. I pray that your spiritual resistance is growing to be able to resist the enemy, to resist demons, to resist evil forces that are trying to capture you this morning in the name of Jesus. My goodness, we have to pray, but I have one more point that I want to throw to you before we pray. Number three, what do we see about the gate? We see something here that it was a spectacle of reproach. This city was a spectacle of reproach. Let me rephrase that again. Number three, the city was a spectacle of reproach or shame. Look at what Nehemiah says. He says, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. So the city was not just lying in waste. The city was not just, you know, without a gate, but the city also became a spectacle of reproach or shame. That's why, you know, Nehemiah told them, we have to build. We have to build so that we take this reproach away from us. We have to build the city so that we take away this shame from us. We have to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem so that people stop laughing at us. I mean, the city was a disgrace. The city was covered with shame. But Nehemiah said, we are going to bring back the honor, the dignity of Jerusalem. We have to build again so that we remove reproach, we remove shame and disgrace from this city. There's an interesting story that I want to read to you. I hope you're with me. I hope you're still with me. There's an interesting story that I want to read about David's men who were covered by shame, you know, and the shame was brought about by a king by the name Hanun or Hanan. In 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1 to 5. I just want to read it quickly. The Bible says, it happened after this that Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. He had lost his father. And so David decided, let me send some men to go and be with him during the mourning period to comfort him. Now, and David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon and comfort him. And the princes of the people of Ammon saying to Hanun, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Did his servants not come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore, Hanun took David's servants. Can you imagine? Look at this. And he shaved them. He took them. The servants of David who had come, you know, to comfort him. And he shaved them. After shaving them, he cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks. My goodness, I was even afraid of mentioning that name. He took them, shaved them, then cut off their garments in the middle of their bum bums or buttocks and sent them away. Can you imagine that picture? Your beard has been shaved. And you're walking back, going back home, and, you know, your garments have been cut in the middle of your buttock, and you send them away. Oh, my goodness. Then some went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. Look at how he ashamed the men of David, men who had come to comfort him. Men who had come to stand with him. Men who had come to bring him hope and encouragement after the loss of his father. But he got bad counsel. He shaved them. And then he told all of them, turn around. And he cut their garments at the middle of their buttocks. You can imagine the shame that covered these men as they were walking around and everybody was laughing at them. You know, there are areas in our bodies that need to be covered. But those areas, when they are exposed, we are going to be ashamed. Yeah, we're going to be ashamed. You're going to be filled with shame. And this is how the men of David were. And they were greatly, greatly ashamed. Some of us, out of our own, you know, nice heart, good heart, we went to stand with people. We went to support people. We became a blessing to the people. But those people turned around and did something that left us in shame. Those people turned around and humiliated us. I can just see the men of David, how they walked back home without their beard, having been shaved, and they were walking back home with buttocks being exposed, and everybody was laughing at them. You know, they were really covered in shame. But the Bible says, no matter how shameful or how disgraced you have been, no matter how humiliated you have been, there is still hope. The wall can be built. The glory can be brought back. The shame can be covered in the name of Jesus. There are people here, you've been covered by shame, by people, what people have done to you, what people have said about you, you know. You are in relationships that have left you in shame. You are in friendships that have left you in shame. You are involved in something that has introduced shame in your life. I came to tell you that there is still hope. All is not lost. It doesn't matter what you have done that has covered you in shame. It doesn't matter what has been done to you that has introduced shame in your life. All is not lost. There is hope in God. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. There is double honor for every shame. There is double honor for every disgrace in your life. There is double honor for every form of humiliation in your life. And so this morning, don't give up. This morning, don't plunge, you know, into depression. This morning, do not contemplate suicide. This morning, do not give up, no matter how humiliated you are. There is double honor for you in the name of Jesus. There's somebody listening to me and you've been covered in shame because of what you did, because of what you participated in, because of what somebody did to you, and you're grappling with shame. You feel humiliated. You feel like disgrace. But let me tell you, there is double honor for you. This morning, receive double honor as you pray. This morning, be covered with double honor as you seek the face of God in the name of Jesus. This morning be surrounded with double honor as as you surrender yourself to God in prayer in the name of Jesus. Maybe you made a speech, but it flopped, and now you are humiliated. Maybe you are in an interview and you stammered, and now you feel humiliated and covered in shame. But I pray that even as you pray this morning, that double honor will come upon you in the name of Jesus. God will surround you with double honor. God will fill you with double honor. God will cover you with double honor in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, are we ready to pray this morning? I want you to take a place of prayer right now and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray for beauty for your ashes in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray that everything that is lying in waste, I pray that God, you pray that God may turn it around, and may God bring beauty for every ash in your life in the name of Jesus. Are you ready to pray? Raise up your voice right now wherever you are and begin to pray in the name of Jesus that God may repair everything that lies in waste, that God may bring back beauty, God may bring back glory, God may bring back honor. Yes, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice wherever you are and begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everything that lies waste in my life. I pray, oh God, for everything that lies waste in my home, in my family. I pray, oh God, that may you bring back the beauty. May you bring back the glory in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Jehovah God, where there is a stench, where there are rubbles, where there is ugliness, I pray this morning that may you bring back the beauty in the name of Jesus. Where there is destruction, oh yes, anything that is unattractive in our lives, I pray this morning, oh God, that may you bring beauty. May you bring beauty in the name of Jesus. A place where there is a stench, a place where there is a smell, I pray that may you revoke it and may you replace it with beauty this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray where ashes have accumulated, ugliness has accumulated, things are lying in waste, things have been destroyed, there are rubbles all over the place, I pray that may you step in and may you bring beauty and glory in the name of Jesus. Where there is chaos, where there is disorganization, Father, I pray this morning that may you bring beauty, beautiful ashes, beautiful ashes, beautiful ashes in the name of Jesus. Everybody raise your voice and pray for beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Where there is ugliness, beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Where there are rubbles, beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Where there is a stench, beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Where there is disorder, disorganization, beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Where there is no beauty, beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Everything that lies in ruins, everything that lies in waste, everything that has been destroyed in your life, in your family, where there is a stench, oh yes, pray for beauty this morning in the name of Jesus. Where, oh God, the enemy has wreaked havoc, where fire has raised down, oh yes, houses, destroyed order, destroyed organization, I pray this morning, let there be beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Father, there are people who have been covered with ashes. There are people this morning in this prayer service who have been surrounded with ashes. They have been surrounded with rubbles. They only have memories of the past beautiful days in their lives. I pray this morning that may you turn their lives around and introduce beauty in their lives in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, take the ashes away. Take the ashes away, Lord, and introduce beauty in their lives right now, in the name of Jesus. Every form of brokenness, every form of ugliness, every form of stench in their lives. I pray that may you replace it with beauty in the name of Jesus. Are you praying, somebody? Are you praying, somebody? Raise your voice and pray. Wherever you are, raise your voice and pray right now for beauty, 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 beauty for ashes. Father, there are people, their minds have been messed. Their perspective has been messed. All they see about their lives is ugliness. All they see about their lives is rubbles. All they see about their lives is ashes. But this morning, let there be a change of perspective in the name of Jesus. This morning, let there be a change of perspective in Jesus' name. Introduce beauty. Introduce beauty. Introduce beauty in their lives, Jehovah God. In the name of Jesus, introduce beauty in their lives this morning as they pray. As we pray this morning, let beauty cover our lives. As we pray this morning, let beauty surround our lives. As we pray and seek the face of God this morning, let beauty cover us in the name of Jesus. As we pray this morning, may we be saturated with beauty, beauty from above in the name of Jesus. As we pray this morning, let your beauty, Lord, surround us. Let your beauty surround our homes. Let your beauty surround our marriage in the name of Jesus. Oh, our glory is coming back. The order is coming back. The organization that was once there is coming back in the name of Jesus. The excellence that was once there is coming back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's coming back in the name of Jesus. Beauty in your life. Beauty in your life. Beauty in your life. As you pray this morning, beauty is coming your way. As you intercede this morning, beauty is going to cover your life. It's going to cover your home. It's going to surround your house in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The second prayer that I want us to pray this morning, I want you to pray in the name of Jesus that your fortification will become a reality in the name of Jesus. You will have resistance. You are building the wall. You are building the gate, rather. The gate is being built. Yes, the spiritual. I want you to pray for spiritual fortification. Pray for spiritual fortification that you'll have power to resist the enemy. You'll have power. You have the ability to resist demonic powers that are trying to afflict you, trying to infect you in the name of Jesus. Raise your voice and begin to pray for spiritual fortification right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, that the gate that has been burned down, the gate that has been destroyed in our lives. Today we pray for spiritual fortification in the name of Jesus. The gate that was acting as a resistance point in our lives to keep at bay demonic powers, to keep at bay demonic influence over our lives. That wall that has been broken, that gate that has been broken. I pray this morning that let there be fortification, spiritual fortification in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that may you fortify every spiritual gate that has been broken in our lives in the name of Jesus. Fortify every spiritual gate that has been destroyed in our lives in the name of Jesus. Fortify every spiritual gate that has been destroyed. Oh, yes, in our minds, in the name of Jesus. Fortify every spiritual gate that has been destroyed over our flesh, in the name of Jesus. The ability to resist, the ability to say no, the ability to be disciplined, the ability to exercise self-control. I pray, oh God, may that resistance be built up right now. Even as we pray, may that stamina be built up this morning. Even as we pray in the name of Jesus, may that power increase in us right now. Even as we pray in the name of Jesus, oh, fortify the gate. Fortify the gate. Fortify the gate in our lives in the name of Jesus. fortify the gate in our lives in Jesus' name. The gate is becoming stronger. Even as you pray this morning in the name of Jesus, the gate is being fortified. As you pray right now in the name of Jesus, the gate is being strengthened. Right now, as you pray in the name of Jesus, the gate is being erected over your life right now. The spiritual gate that will keep at bay demonic power, that will keep at bay all your negative influence in your life in the name of Jesus. Everybody raise your voice right now and pray. Pray. I need to hear you in the spirit. Fortify that gate right now. I need to hear you in the spirit. Come on, fortify that gate. Fortify that gate in your mind, in your flesh, in your soul, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May you gain resistance. May you gain resistance in the spirit. May you gain resistance mentally in the name of Jesus to say no to any demonic infestation in your life in the name of Jesus. May you gain the upper hand right now in the name of Jesus as you pray. May the gate be fortified as you intercede. May the gate be strengthened as you seek God this morning. May your ability to resist the devil, to resist demons, to resist temptations, to resist demonic powers begin to rise within you in the name of Jesus. Your ability to resist demonic attack over your life, may it become stronger in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 May you gain spiritual muscles this morning as you pray in the name of Jesus. May you gain spiritual stamina as you pray this morning in the name of Jesus. The enemy will not have a leeway in your life in the name of Jesus. The enemy will not come into your life the way he wants in the name of Jesus. Demons will not invade your life the way they want in the name of Jesus. You will not be a victim of every temptation that comes your way. You will not be a victim of every demonic infestation that comes your way in the name of Jesus. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This morning I declare that you are becoming stronger as you pray. You are becoming stronger. As you intercede, you are becoming stronger. Yes, in the name of Jesus, your spiritual muscles are growing. Your spiritual resistance is growing. Your spiritual ability is growing. Even as you pray this morning, in the name of Jesus, as you pray this morning, something is rising. Power is rising. Resistance is rising. Spiritual stamina is growing. Spiritual muscles are growing inside of you. In the name of Jesus, you will be able to say no. You'll be able to reject the enemy. You'll be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you in the name of Jesus. You'll be able to do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May the gate be fortified as you pray, let there be a fortification of your gate in the name of Jesus. Spiritual fortification, may it take place in your life as you pray this morning in the name of Jesus. You will not give in. You will not give in. You will not give in to temptation. You will not give in to demons. You will not give in to evil forces in any way in the name of Jesus. Lastly, I want you to pray for double honor, double honor, double honor. The Bible says, instead of your shame, you shall receive double honor. I want you to pray for double honor where there is disgrace. Pray for double honor where you have been humiliated. Pray for double honor where you have been covered in reproach. Pray for double honor. Hallelujah. I want everybody to open your mouth, raise your voice, and prophesy over your life. Double honor in the name of Jesus. You can even type, I declare double honor over my life this morning. I prophesy double honor over my life this morning in the name of Jesus. Where you faced shame, prophesy double honor in the name of Jesus. Where you faced humiliation, prophesy double honor in your life this morning, in the name of Jesus. Where you experience disgrace, I want you to type and declare double honor over your life in the name of Jesus. Where men humiliated you, where people humiliated you, where people, you know, disgrace you, I want you to declare double honor over your life in the name of Jesus. Instead of shame, you shall have double honor. I prophesy double honor. I pray for double honor. I activate double honor upon my life this morning. I decree double honor upon my life this morning. Everywhere I have experienced humiliation, everywhere I've experienced shame, everywhere I've experienced reproach and disgrace, I proclaim double honor upon my life this morning in the name of Jesus. Shame is not my portion. Disgrace is not my portion. Humiliation is not my portion. Double honor. Double honor is my portion in the name of Jesus. I am walking in double honor. I'm operating in double honor. Excuse me. I am leading in double honor in the name of Jesus. Are you declaring it? Declare it right now in the name of Jesus. Speak it forth right now. In the name of Jesus, I am no longer a victim of shame. I am no longer a victim of disgrace. I am no longer a victim of humiliation. I am a recipient of double honor in the name of Jesus. Type it in the comment section. As you speak it, as you declare it, as you type it, may it become a reality in your life this morning. In the name of Jesus, double honor, double honor. I join your faith. I join your confession. I join your declaration. And I decree, may you experience double honor in the name of Jesus. As you pray, may you experience double honor. Hallelujah. As you make your confession, may you experience double honor this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to remember any incidents where you are humiliated, and I want you to declare double honor over your life in the name of Jesus. I want you to remember any experience you went through that left you with an egg in the eye or in the face rather. I want you to declare double honor. In the name of Jesus, I want you to remember any experience you went through that left you disgraced, and I want you to declare double honor over your life. In the name of Jesus, I want you to remember any experience you went through that left you covered in reproach and shame. I want you to declare double honor. Oh yes, instead of shame, the Bible says, you shall have double honor. May you walk in double honor. May you experience double honor. May you flow in double honor this morning in the name of Jesus. Every wall that was broken that introduced shame in your life, may God replace that shame with double honor in your life today in the name of Jesus. Some of you are ashamed. You are disgraced in a family meeting. Today I declare when you go back to that family meeting, there will be double honor going with you in the name of Jesus. Some of you were disgraced in an interview, but I declare in the next interview you're going to participate in, you will be covered with double honor in the name of Jesus. Some of you were disgraced when you are giving a speech somewhere, but this time round, when you stand to speak, you'll be covered with double honor in the name of Jesus. Some of you were disgraced in a relationship that did not work, and you're struggling with shame. You are struggling with disgrace. You were humiliated in that relationship. But this time round, you are covered with double honor in the name of Jesus. Receive it this morning. Let it be part and parcel of your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to type that I'm covered with double honor in the name of Jesus. Type it right now and make that confession in the name of Jesus that I am covered with double honor. I am covered with double honor. I am surrounded with double honor in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I am covered with double honor. I am surrounded with double honor. I am walking with double honor. I am operating with double honor. I'm going to the office with double honor. I'm going to my business with double honor. I'm going to lead with double honor. I'm going to be a father full of double honor. I'm going to be a mother covered with double honor. Everywhere I go, excuse me, everywhere I go, everything that I involve myself in, I am covered with double honor in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it, somebody? Shout a louder amen. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you, oh God, for your presence. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all shout a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the way, the month of March is our month of double honor. This month of March is our month of double honor. May you experience double honor this month like never before in the name of Jesus. May you be honored at the place of work. May you be honored in family gatherings. May you be honored where you live. May you be honored in the church. May you be honored wherever you are going to be this month of March. May you be honored. May you be granted preferential treatment in the name of Jesus. For every shame you have gone through, for every humiliation you have gone through, for every disgrace you have faced, this month, may God wipe your tears. And may God introduce you to double honor in the name of Jesus. Woo! I prophesy over my life that the month of March is my month of double honor. I will experience double honor. I will walk in double honor. I will operate in double honor in the name of Jesus. Excuse me. Hallelujah. And that is your portion as well. In Jesus' name. Can I hear louder? Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in to Dr. Dodswaite's podcast today. We hope you found inspiration and insight that resonates deeply within you. Remember, transformation is not just a destination, but a continuous journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with those you care about. Together, let's spread the light of transformation far and wide. Until next time, stay blessed, stay inspired, and keep transforming your world.